Tonight, 1 Chronicles chapters 13 and 14, as we continue in our study of the life of King David and his son Solomon, which is the heart of the chronicler's presentation. And that began back at chapter 10 of 1 Chronicles. And it started off with the life of Saul, showing the end result. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13 said that Saul was unfaithful to the Lord, and the consequences of that were that he was defeated by the Philistines. He eventually fell on his own sword, as well as his armor bearer. And all of this was a result of the judgment of God. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 11, we took 11 and 12 last time, we began with the life of David. And what a contrast between Saul and David. Saul saw the consequences for unbelief and unfaithfulness and seeking wizards or spiritists rather than seeking the Lord like David did. We're in the midst of the chronicler showing us how blessed David was because the Lord was with him. We saw in chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, how all of Israel was gathered together to pronounce David as king, with the quotes, "It's because the Lord has anointed him." This was not the choice of the people, this was the anointing of the Lord. Therefore, they all gathered around him. And David, interesting, as we understand the presentation and the study of David's life as the chronicler is showing it to us, what David did and the reason why he was blessed is because what he did was go back and pursue what was right in the sight of the Lord. In other words, the Jebusites had Jerusalem. And that was the city of God. The temple was in Jerusalem. And so, to be in Jerusalem. So David goes and he captures Jerusalem. God blesses him. God just didn't bless him because he just chose some place and say, I'm like your lucky rabbit's foot, and I'm going to bless you in whatever you do. David had a heart for the Lord. He wanted to take Jerusalem for the Lord. It was called the City of David, but we're going to see as we continue on in this book, it's also called the City of God. It was God's chosen place to put His chosen temple. And David went and took Jerusalem with Joab's help. Joab emerged as the chief of the army. David said, whoever emerges to lead, to take the city, is the commander-in-chief. And so Joab emerges. We saw a very key verse in verse 9 of chapter 11. So David went on and became great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. That's a key verse. The only thing that made David different than any other person was because the Lord was with him in whatever he did. He had a heart for the Lord. He didn't carry the Lord around with him. He had a heart for the Lord. The Lord was with him and blessed him in everything that he did because he wanted Jerusalem. We're going to see tonight that he went after the Ark of the Covenant. It was not right that the Ark of the Covenant should not be with God's people. He had a heart for the Lord, see. And it wasn't that he was going out with business adventures and conquering as a great army warrior, and that God just blessed every single thing that he did. He had a heart for the Lord. So everything that he did in response to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, God blessed him. Verse 9 says the Lord was with him. The rest of chapter 11 is a presentation of all the mighty men who served with David and emerged because the Lord was with David. Many of those who were with him were blessed and emerged as mighty warriors. In 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it tells us that they gathered together at Ziklag, and the warriors were gathering together with David. And different people, the Gadites, were joining together with David there. Different tribes now, of all through Israel, are now being gathered together to David because the Lord is with him. In verse 16 it says, some sons of the Benjaminites and Judah came to David at the stronghold. But chapter 12, verse 18 says, then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, O David, We are on your side, O son of Jesse. Peace, peace to you, and peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. That last little phrase, those last two little lines, are the key to that entire section. Is the fact, peace to your helpers, for your God helps you. Back in chapter 11, verse 9, the Lord was with him wherever he went, whatever he did. It is recognized that the Lord helped him, and those who helped David were also blessed by the Lord. So they said, we're joining in with you. You've got the Lord with you on your side. You know, that's kind of like joining the winning side, you know. And so the rest of chapter 12 gave the numbers and the divisions of those tribes and their warriors that joined up with David. And chapter 13 is going to show even more of the unity. All of Israel is repeated several times. The chronicler is showing the unity amongst the children of Israel. But we're also going to learn a lesson from chapter 13. Though David had a heart for the Lord, he didn't always do things right. That's a key. And God is going to correct that situation. Chapter 13, we know that David had a heart for Jerusalem, and he took Jerusalem for the Lord. In chapter 13, the chronicler is taking it for granted that the reader knows the story from 1 Samuel chapter 6. 1 Samuel chapters 4 through 7 talk about the Ark of the Covenant. You remember the Philistines conquered Israel in a war and took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was the box with the Aaron's rod and the tablet of stone representing the law and the bowl of manna. All of that was in the box. The mercy seat was there. The cherubim were over the mercy seat. And this went into the Holy of Holies. It represented the presence of God amongst His people. And it wasn't that it's like a cage where God's Spirit was only inside the Holy of Holies at the mercy seat. It's that is the meeting place. God was everywhere that Israel went. But that is the meeting place where God said that He would be with His people. But the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. And they had had it. But they had so much trouble because they had the Ark of the Covenant. God brought so many plagues and hardships amongst them that they took a brand new wagon and sent it back to Israel. And they watched it to make sure it went over there. So get that thing back to them. It's just, we're just being plagued because we have it. And so they sent it back. Now it went over the border and actually wound up about 8 miles from Jerusalem in someone's house by the name of Abinadab. And in Kirjathjearim. And so David, at this point in our story, David takes over. Saul didn't seek for the Ark of the Covenant. Saul was king. Saul ruled. But you didn't get any sense about him that he cared about what was right in the sight of the Lord. What about the Ark of the Covenant, which represented, and that was God's meeting place with God's people? He could care less. He did not look for the Ark of the Covenant, as we will see. One of his downfalls. He did not seek the Ark of the Covenant. When David takes Jerusalem, and now all of Israel is really starting to come in by the thousands, and now it is a huge army, and Israel is now united under David because God's helping him and God is with him. That David says, you know, it's not right that the Ark of the Covenant isn't here. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? It should be here, in the middle of God's people. Now that's the kind of heart that David had for the Lord. God's presence should be amongst His people. Even though the Lord is here, yet God designated that the Ark of the Covenant would be the place where He comes and He speaks to His people. Chapter 13. Then David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said to all the assembly of Israel, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord our God, it's interesting. You seek the counsel of many counselors, and also if it's the Lord's will. Always bringing in these elements. sharing it with others, getting feedback of those that you recognize and respect as having a heart for the Lord. That is the key. Not just anybody, but those who have a heart for the Lord. And present to them, if it seems good to you, and if it is of the Lord. Let us send out to our brethren everywhere who are left in all of the land of Israel, and with them to the priests and Levites who are in their cities and their common lands, that they may gather together to us. And let us bring the ark of our God back to us, for we have not inquired at it since the days of Saul. The term inquired means to seek. In other words, we, as God's people, we have not been seeking for it, or even asking for it to come back since the days of Saul. So Saul didn't even look for it. He didn't care. Then all the assembly said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all of Israel together from Shihor in Egypt to as far as the entrance of Hamath to bring the Ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. This is about 8 miles from Jerusalem. And David and all of Israel went up to Baalah to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God the Lord, who dwells between the cherubim where His name is proclaimed. So His presence is there. He says, why do we not have the Ark? Why aren't we looking for the Ark? His presence is there, and it represents His name, and from it His name is proclaimed. Let's go get it. All of Israel says, yeah, let's get things back in order. So they carried the Ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Now, two things I want to say to you. In order to understand what is about to happen, we have to understand two things. First of all, we are not... This little incident here is going to leave a question mark as to why God would allow it to happen. Because Uzzah is going to die. When we get to chapter 15 next week, it brings everything into focus. The writer gets back to this incident when we get into chapter 15. So we're going to have to wait till we get to chapter 15 next time to get the full impact. But we should know this from Numbers chapter 4, verse 15. God commanded in Numbers chapter 4, verse 15, that the Kohathites, that is a tribe of Levi, that the Kohathites were commanded by God to carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. And they were the only ones to carry it. That is God's prescribed way of doing things. Now, David has good intentions here. David has a heart for the Lord. So we've got to get this thing back here. And I'll tell you what, the Ark of the Covenant is so precious to us, we're going to bring it back on a new cart. Well, that's not what God said to do. But then you'd expect, well, so what? You know, I mean, the guy's got a good heart. You know, he's sincere. He's got the right motive. He wants to bring the thing back. But God said the Kohathites were to carry it on their shoulders, and that nobody else was to touch it. Touch it, or else you die. So we have it being brought back in a new cart from the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drove the cart. Then David and all of Israel played music before God with all of their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Kidon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen had stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. Now, we're going to see David's reaction to this. He became angry, and he feared the Lord, really in a state of confusion. Here's a man who has just got full steam ahead. God is blessing in every area, and I've experienced this many times. When the Lord just blesses and it's a green light and you just push full steam ahead, and then something happens. It's like a setback, you know. And you come before the Lord and you say, why? I thought you were giving the green light. I thought you were blessing. And yet, later on, we'll understand why. Is that it's not that God blesses us in whatever we do because we're going in His name. Is that we have to do it His way. That's the key to this. It's not just doing something for the Lord. Someone once said there's a lot of sincerity on the road to hell. There are a lot of sincere people who sincerely believe they're doing the right thing, but they're still losing their soul. Sincerity doesn't save anybody. Paul in Romans, the book of Romans, he talked about having a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. He says there's people out there that are killing people in God's name. They have such a zeal for God, but they don't understand that they're not doing it God's way. God didn't ask us to do anything for Him. He didn't ask us to come up with our own plans and our own ideas and our own committees. He didn't ask us to just give it your best shot. He didn't ask us to do that. He asked us to be obedient to Him and follow Him and do things His way and allow His Spirit to perform His work. Verse 11, "And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah." Interesting, the word outbreak is from the Hebrew word that is pronounced Perez in English. And we'll see a little play on words here. Therefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah, the outbreak upon Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How can I bring the ark of God to me?" So he's basically saying, how can I bring the ark of God to me, bringing it into Jerusalem and bringing it close to me when the thing's a curse? I thought it represented the blessing of God and the presence of God. How can I even bring the ark to me and set it up like it should be? And he feared God that day, very confused, very upset, because he was pressing forward and he couldn't understand why God would outbreak. God would cause an outbreak of Himself upon Uzzah when Uzzah, all he was trying to do was keep it from tipping over. It was falling off the cart. You'd think that he'd be blessed for it, but the Lord God killed him. Not because he had evil intentions, but because, the whole scene was set up in disobedience to begin with. God had said to have the Kohathites carried on their shoulders. If they did it God's way, the incident wouldn't happen to begin with. And He said no one is to touch it, and He touched it. Disobedience. Verse 13. "So David would not move the ark with him into the city of David, but took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had." So the ark was there. Interesting, David had the right motive. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "How good it is for the brethren to join together or to assemble together in unity." All of Israel was now, as a nation, uniting under David and uniting under David's call. He says, we're missing Jerusalem. The enemy has taken the land and taken the cities. Let's take Jerusalem. Hey, let's take the ark. You know how great it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity, but we need God's presence in our midst. We need the ark of the covenant there. And yet one thing that he forgot, like we forget, Psalm 127, verse 1. "Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." It's not that God blesses our efforts. God blesses obedience. Yes, the Lord has a work for us to do, but He has a work for us to do His way. It's His work, not our work. He did not leave His work for us to do. He's going to do His work, but He's going to do it His way. So two scriptures, very important for this chapter. Psalm 133, verse 1. "How good it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." And 127, verse 1. where it says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. A lesson that we will come back to in chapter 15. Chapter 14. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David, and cedar trees with masons and carpenters to build him a house. So David knew that the Lord had established him as king over Israel, for his kingdom was highly exalted for the sake of his people Israel. Then David took more wives in Jerusalem, and David produced more sons and daughters. And these are the names of his children whom he had in Jerusalem: Shamamua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Elpelet, Noga, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Baaliada, and Eliphelet. Now when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. So they said, oh, he's king, huh? Well, we're going to come up against him. So they went looking for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? Now, this is very interesting. This shows the heart of David. David didn't say, okay, I've got all of Israel now united behind me. I've got the thousands. We're united as a nation. Okay, the ark thing didn't work, so we'll put that aside for now. So the Philistines want to fight, huh? Well, just bring them on. He inquired of the Lord first. He asked of the Lord. What a contrast between he and Saul. Saul went and asked a medium or a spiritist, you know, contact the dead and some spirit from the dead to tell me my fortune as to what I should do. David inquired of the Lord. He didn't take it for granted. He said, first of all, should I go out against them? Secondly, will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to him, go up, for I will deliver them into your hand. So they went up to Bahiel Perazim. Bahiel is the term for God in the Canaanite terminology. And this was a name of a place. This Perazim comes from Perez for outbreak. We saw the outbreak upon Uzzah in chapter 13. We're going to see the outbreak of God upon the Philistines in chapter 14. In Hebrew, there's a play on words here by the chronicler that you really wouldn't be aware of it in English, but it's kind of an interesting. And David defeated them there. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies. You see, that's the outbreak. He has broken through my enemies. By my hand, like a breakthrough of water. That's outbreak or breakthrough. Therefore they called the name of that place Bahiel Perazim, the outbreak of God, the breakthrough of God. And when they left their gods there, David gave a commandment and they were burned with fire. These are the gods of the Philistines. Brought in all the images and he had them burned with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore David inquired again of God. Now I find this, again, it's interesting. You would think that he would take it for granted. He inquired of God the first time and said, will you deliver them into my hand? God says, go, I'm with you. I'm going to outbreak on them and it's all over. I will give them into your hand. And that's what David proclaimed. God did it through my hand. He broke through the enemies. But now they come up against him again. Now I would think, just by logic and reason, he being a natural man, that he'd say, oh, here we go again. Well, come on, guys, get the swords, let's go get them. God already gave us the green light. He didn't take it for granted. He inquired of the Lord again as to what to do. Showed the heart of David that he did not presume anything. You know, okay, I learned that God delivers us, so I'm just going to go out and just do anything I want to do because God's going to deliver me. He sought the Lord. So therefore David inquired again of God, and God said to him, interesting, you shall not go up after them. This is why we need to pray and seek the Lord. It is not the same in every occasion, even though it looks that way. Oh, here come the Philistines again. This time when he inquired of the Lord says not to go. So at one time he might lay on our hearts to go, and another time he might lay on our hearts not to go, and to do it a different way. So he says, circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be that when you hear a sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So he says, you're not going to hit them head on. You're going to circle behind them, and as soon as you hear the sound of marching at the top of the mulberry trees, then you're going to go out after them, because the Lord has already gone out into the camp and has defeated the enemy. Interesting how God presents it. John says in 1 John chapter 5, in the first three verses, first five verses, that we have the victory already. We have already overcome because of our faith. Just by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a perfect tense, you have already overcome. In other words, we don't go out to overcome to win the victory. He says it's already yours. God has already gone out before you. He's already been there. He's already won the victory for you. All you have to do is trust the Lord. It's a matter of putting your faith in Him that the victory is already yours. You just have to be obedient to the Lord. He's already been there. He's already done it. Already gone there. So when you hear the marching of the trees, then you should go out to battle, for God has gone out. Not will go. He has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David, the word fame in Hebrew is the word name. The name of David went out into all the lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. It's not because he thought himself to be something. It's because he inquired of the Lord and asked the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to do it? How are you going to do it? Where do you want me to place myself? And how do you want to use me? And it was the Lord that caused fear to go out concerning David. David himself was not anything. We know from the choosing of David that he was a teenage shepherd boy. And God chose him and brought him out and placed his spirit upon him and anointed him. And he had a heart for the Lord. He all of Israel was united to him for one reason and one reason only, because the Lord was with him and the Lord helped him in all that he did. Therefore Israel says, we want to be with you. The Lord blesses your helpers and the Lord blesses you. He helps you with everything. But it wasn't just because David got blessed. It's because David had a heart for the Lord. He captured Jerusalem for the Lord. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back because it was the presence of God in the midst of his people, you see. And here's the heart for the Lord. He didn't do it right, as we will see next week when we get into chapter 15. It's all going to come together. He didn't do it God's way. But he did backtrack and do it God's way after the incident happened. And all of the nations around him heard of his name. And God made a name out of David. Not to make David the human being great, But David is somebody who humbled himself and would pray and would seek the Lord at every instance. Lord, how do you want me to do this? He didn't go out in his arrogance and say, well, God defeated the Philistines last time. I can beat anybody. I got God with me. I can do anything. You know, nothing's impossible for me because I've got God with me. No, he sought the Lord. Do you want me to go up? No, I don't want you to go up this time. Last time I did, this time I don't. I want you to circle behind. Wait till you hear the noise in the trees. Then go out. Go out and win the battle, because when you go out of the trees to fight the Philistines, I've already been there. God's the one that said to David that he, that is God, is the one who's going to fight all of his battles for him. And so they feared David, not because of David, but because of the Lord. That the Lord was with him. The text in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, it tells us that we are to encourage each other, provoking one another, encouraging each other, because and to encourage each other to assemble together. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as it is the custom of some. And yet rather we are to encourage each other to do it the more as you see the day approaching, the last days. Here's the heart of David. He says, folks, we have to be united under God's Spirit, how God wants to do things. We have to be united under God's presence. God's presence has to be in our midst. God had a heart for assembly. Let's assemble and rally around the Lord. None of this, I don't like to go to church and all those people at church are hypocrites. And I mean, David didn't have that attitude. His heart was for the Lord. Let's get things right again. Let's get Jerusalem. Let's get the Ark of the Covenant back and get God's presence in our midst. He be the focus and He's in our midst. And that, so that when the enemies come up against us, He's fighting our battles for us. That's the way it should be. And that was David's heart. And God blessed him for it. And that's a key for us. The Lord was with him and the Lord helped him in all that he did. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's such a contrast of what David did and what the people did when they went into the land and they fought the little town of Ai without
right.
the Lord's help and
right.
were defeated because they never asked the Lord.
Well, they went by what happened to Jericho. They say, no problem. You know, they were presumptuous. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let a man take heed, lest thinking he stands, he should fall. Once we think, oh, this is a cinch, Lord will just be with me. All of a sudden you fall flat on your face. Because we presume something that, yes, the Lord is with us, but He's the one that's doing it, so we got to follow Him where He goes. We don't take Him with us. He takes us with Him, you see. We kind of have it backwards. And so in Ai, they said, oh, Jericho was a cinch. Ai is smaller than Jericho. We'd have sent a few thousand over there. We'll just take care of them while we're having dinner, you know. And God showed them, no. You do it God's way. And it is a contrast. Another thing that I think it's interesting, so we're going to find that the chronicler doesn't mention David's sins. I'm not talking about the incident with the Ark of the Covenant. He doesn't mention about Bathsheba or any of these things. Because to the chronicler, yes, he sinned, and yes, God dealt with him, but that has nothing to do with David's heart and his heart for the Lord and why the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed him because he wanted to get things right. He wanted Jerusalem. He wanted the Ark of the Covenant back. He wanted to do things God's way. On the way to that, he sinned. But he had a heart for the Lord, which showed in his repentance. So the chronicler doesn't even mention any of that stuff. He just shows, look how God blessed him. Versus Saul. Saul was unfaithful. He didn't obey God's word. He didn't seek the Lord. Look at David. He's seeking the Lord. Even when you think maybe he shouldn't, because, hey, David, you ought to know by now. Look what happened last time. What do you got to pray for? Just go out there and start hacking away, you know. God's with you. God has a different way of doing things each time. And we cannot presumptuously step forward, presuming that God's going to do it the same every time, or that He's going to be there every time we do something in His name. It's He's taking us with Him. We're not taking Him with us. And I think that's the presumption today that is wrong, with that's being taught in the churches today, is that you've got God with you. You go in His name. You can do anything. You just mention His name and power will be there. No, no. It doesn't work that way. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're so encouraged that people like David, who are human beings just like we are, people like Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, human beings just like we are, and yet these men you have blessed and you stand them up as a testimony of you and what you can do. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Lord that blessed David, the same Jesus and Holy Spirit that lived inside of Paul is the same one that lives inside of us. That He wants to do great things, but not for great things' sake, or to bless us, or to make us great, or make us anything. But You have a great work to do that glorifies Your name. Lord, may we be found faithful. May we be considered faithful and obtain mercy in serving You. May You cause us to be faithful, to continue on in all that You have for us, because Your response is the blessing and ministry and power of Your Holy Spirit. We want to be a David. We want to be a Paul. We want to be effective for Christ. May we learn the lessons of this man David, who had a heart for the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.